Well, again, it's good to have my two best students in my class. They are such a blessing, and I appreciate them so much. Brother Tim Johnson is with us. Brother Tim's preached for us before, and tremendous blessing. And Brother Mayor Comcia is going to be speaking for us this evening. Brother Mayor is from Bethlehem, Israel. We appreciate him so much. He's here going to the college there at Peachtree. He and Brother Tim both, I think, have quite a load on them. And when I was in college, I tried to just take a little bit at a time. And so it got to looking like I was going to finally graduate maybe at the last half of the millennium kingdom. And so I decided I better pick it up just a little bit. And I did. And I'm very grateful for the time that we have together. We're studying today, or during this semester, an introduction into missions. And our hearts are being stirred, at least mine is, I hope theirs is, concerning the need to spread the gospel, to get God's message around the world to this lost and dying generation. We have an awesome responsibility as the church, and it certainly ought to be a great delight as well to tell the lost about their great need of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that Jesus Christ is the gospel. The person and finished work of Christ is the good news for fallen men. And I want Brother Mayor to come and share the word of the Lord with us here this evening. And let's listen to him carefully.
Good evening. It is a privilege for me tonight to be among you as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. I'm from Bethlehem, as he said. Pastor Tommy, I appreciate that you introduced me. We will go today with a journey in history and some geography through Bible of John. So if you please stand with me, we will go to read chapter 4, some verses of chapter 4. The Gospel of John, John chapter 4. John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asked drink of me, which I am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman said unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank therefor himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But therefore drink of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. Amen. You may be seated. Here, to make the story short, Jesus was in Judea. Especially, he was in Jerusalem, teaching, as usual, near the temple of God, where many followed him and comes every day to hear what he is teaching, because his teaching was not as anyone teaching. So everyone wants to hear Jesus. That makes jealousy in the Pharisees' hearts, because he had made and baptized disciples. And these Pharisees are a religious group, Jewish religious group, teachers of the Bible. They know the scripture very well, and they have disciples. But now, as we can see, many of their disciples left them to listen to the greater teacher, Jesus. But Jesus had to leave Judea because his time was not yet to be crucified. He had to leave for that time in order to finish what he was on earth to do. And we read in the same John, chapter 17, verse 4, he said to God when he was, to the Father when he was praying, I have finished the work. But in this story, he still didn't finish the work. So what was the work that Jesus didn't accomplish and he's going to finish it? We know that it was, the purpose is the cross, but between that time and the crucifixion, there was work for Jesus to do. And in this chapter, we will see what kind of work he is doing. He left Judea because he does not want to die that time. But there are many reasons. Why the scriptures say in verse 4 from chapter 4, must needs. This thing is not just writing, because John write this Bible and he have a purpose of writing it. What was the purpose? To prove Christ deity, prove that he is God. So what is John trying to focus on here? And why Jesus must go through Samaria? First of all, as a geography and history, we must know the roads at that time, the ancient world. There is the first road, was called Via Maris, or by the sea in English. And this road connects Africa with Asia and Europe. And in the Roman Empire, the roads was something very important, and they took care of this road. And if we read about if Jesus passed this road or not, we can read that when Jesus was a child, the Holy Family, Joseph and Mary, went with the baby Jesus to Egypt for a period of time to accomplish one of the prophecies, which says, from Egypt I call my son. And he uses this road with his family. The other road was a very important road for the Jewish especially, and for the Arab world particularly. It was called the Valley of Kings, or the Road of Kings. This road connects Arabia, the south, through Jordan, Ammon, Edom, Berea in Syria, going to Europe and to Asia as well, the known world that time. It was a very important road. But why the Jewish? Why it was important for Judea people, the Jewish people. Samaria lays in the middle. If you have on your Bible the map, you can look at it, the map of Israel. You will find Samaria in the middle between Galilee and the southern kingdom, Judea, Judah. Why they don't want to go through Samaria? They believe that it is unclean place to pass through, and they don't want to be unclean or unholy. So they prefer to go a longer distance through Jericho, crossing the Jordan River to the Jordan side, which is the east part of the Jordanian River. And they go up, and when they reach nearby Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee, they go back to Israel, wherever they want to go, to Galilee. And Jesus uses this road a lot of times, because we read that he went to Jericho many times and he made miracles in Jericho. That was the purpose, going down from Jerusalem to Jericho to pass this road. It was a wide road for kings, for even war, not just trading, not just normal charts, or also a royal place. And as we know, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the King of Kings. And as a king, he have to use this road as well. So the first road was the road of salvation, which supposed that Israel, when they was delivered from Pharaoh, they should pass from that road. But because of the rebellion, they, and fear also from the giants, they didn't pass this road, and they go around and came through Jericho. So the first road was the deliverance road. Jesus passed because he is the deliverer, the savior. The second road is the king's road, and Jesus is our victorious king. He passed through this road. What about the third road, which is what I am going to speak about today? The third road is a road connects the southern kingdom with the northern kingdom. It is a narrow road, series of mountains, starting in Beersheba, Hebron, Bethlehem, Jerusalem, and up, Bethel, Shechem, where Samaria is, up to the Galilee, where Jesus used to live, near the Sea of Galilee. But because of this situation, that the Jewish are enemies with the Samaritans. And if we want to take a quick review, why they are enemies. First of all, we go back in history to year 970 BC, when King Solomon died and his son Rehoboam inherited the kingdom. There was another man who was from Shechem, Samaria, called Jeroboam the first. And he said that he wants to be a king. And they had fight, and the united Israel became two kingdoms. The northern kingdom, which was called Israel, and the southern kingdom, which was called Judea. Why Judea didn't carry the name of Israel? Do he have a right? He is with Benjamin. Are they not two tribes of Israel? You might say because there are 10 tribes, they took the name Israel, which was called Aban Jacob. But there's another reason. The other reason, Joseph, son of Jacob, had two children, Manasseh and Ephraim. And as we know, that the first born for Jacob, who is Reuben, was condemned by the God, and he shall not inherit the land, neither his children or line. So what happened? How we got 12 tribes then, if he was forbidden from this right? And all of his line died. Jacob, before he died, in chapter 48, he He said to Joseph, I give you a special gift over your brothers. Let the name Israel be upon your children. Both children, each one had the same inheritance of land of the other 12 tribes. So they become two tribes. We have it completed. And I have to mention that Reuben, who was banned from that, and we know that the disciples, the close disciples of Christ, was 12. And Judah Iscariot had no place because of what he did. And that was like Reuben did in that time. And they replaced him with another man. So that was the first reason starts being enemies. It's a political thing. Second thing, this king of the northern kingdom said to his people, we don't need Jerusalem. We don't need any temple that King Solomon built. We can build another temple in Shechem. And he convinced them because there was a mountain called Gerizim. And it was the blessing mountain where you stand and take blessing from God. And we can read about that in Deuteronomy, about the mountain of Gerizim. When they entered the land, there was two mountains, Gerizim for blessing and Ebal for curse. So he convinced them to build the temple right there, and they do it. And they start offering sacrifice, animal sacrifice there, starting their own worship, and they don't need Jerusalem anymore. They don't need the southern kingdom. And that makes a problem for them religiously. Not just that. By time, heathen habits entered there, and we can read about that in the First Kings, chapter 12. Verses 25 to 33, if you are teaching from that these days, this is how the king enters strange kind of gods with the God of Israel that they want to believe in. So they become unaccepted and unclean to the southern kingdom, according to them. Not just that, many kings of the southern kingdom made alliance with the strangers, the enemies, against their own nation, but which is Judea. And you can read this also in Chronicles and Kings. What else? 722, when God sent his judgment with the Assyrians, the king Sanharib, he took a captivity, almost all the northern kingdom, Israel, but he kept a remnant, the poor people and the one who just don't need there. He got no benefit from them, so he left them in the land. And what he do, he replaced from his people to live in the land. And what happened during the time, they get married with each other's, and the bloodline was mixed, which is for the Jewish something not acceptable. They don't prefer to marry strangers. They need to keep the bloodline. What else? After Zerubbabel came back from the Babylon, which is another exile, when they spent 70 years in Babylon, he came back and he started rebuilding the ruins of Jerusalem, especially the temple. They offered to help him, and he refused because they are not clean. And they hated him for that, and that makes the hatred grows between them. And since that time, about 450 years before Christ was there, they never deal with the Samaritans. They are real enemies, and in great hatred. So why Jesus must go through Samaria. This is a question. Why he have to go through Samaria? We learn about the three roads. He could take another road. But this road, the narrow road, and the hard road, which was unused for a long time, it's full of danger, and he got tired before he arrived there, as we read. It was called, this road, the road of patriarchs, the fathers of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if Jesus is God, he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is one reason. One reason. What's the other reason? There's another reason. We will see it right now. What Jesus said about the narrow way in Matthew. If we read it, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Matthew 7, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth into destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And we know that Jesus never teaches a thing and never apply it. He teaches these words, and he took two narrow ways. This was one, and the second one was the way of suffering toward the cross. Why he does that? Because you are worthy. He had to take the suffer upon himself and went through the enemy's lands, the enemies, the hatred, and you can tell that woman just say to him, how dare you ask me for water? You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan. You don't know that we are enemies? How can you do that? So what risk he takes and how long it takes him to go there with his disciples? He forced them to go. I'm sure he was arguing with them. No, please don't take us there. They are enemies. They are unclean. But there was another purpose. There was another purpose in Jesus' plan, in his work. In verse 34 of the same chapter, verse 34 says, Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. So what was his work here? What was his work? We go back to history. Jacob buys this land with money. And in Hebrew, it was called Sochar, Sychar, which means purchased with a full price. That's what they used to call it. It wasn't its original name. But because Jacob paid to Shechem a full price of silver for this piece of land, that was first. Second, he digged a well, and he gave this land and the well for his son Joseph, which it goes later to Manasseh and Ephraim, their sons, their children of Joseph. And we can read about this in Joshua when they start giving the land to the tribes, that they took this part. So Sychar was a fully prized paid from Jacob. And Jacob was called Israel. And these people who lived there belongs to Israel. Jesus cannot teach you love your enemy, and he just walked away from his enemies. He went through because he carries love, because he's honest, because he have a work to finish. He goes through the gates of the enemies And the open door was from this woman, which was sinful, unclean. We can read about what happened, but God changed her heart, and she started witnessing, ministering among the city that she lived in. So in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is like a sword, a blade, two sides. Why I connect this to this passage? Because the Amorites, also in history, took this land once from Jacob, and he fought them with his swords and claimed this land back. So he buy it the first time. Second time, he fight for it. He take it from them. He kick them out, the enemies, and take it. And it was given as a free gift to his son. And what is Jesus doing here? He wants to proclaim the right of Israel. They have the right for salvation. They are not enemies. They are not remnants. They are the sons of Jacob by birth. And God went to make reconciliation and teaches his disciples many times about Samaria. Do not curse, but bless. He teaches what he do, what he apply on himself first before he give us whatever. Then there is a question from this Samaritan woman. She said, are you greater than Jacob, our father? What do you think? What does Jacob present in these days? What does it mean spiritually? Jacob is what we do, our own things that we do, to please God or trying to please Him. But Jesus did something that no one of us and whoever believes needs to do this again. This is the religion. Jacob is the religion. Religious acts that you have to do. You must not. Instructions and complicated. This is Jacob. And what about the well? It contains water. The city uses that water. It was benefit for them. It was good. But they have to come every day. They have to come every day. That's the religion. You have to practice your faith, not faith, your religious acts, every day. It's not enough. You will feel that you never be satisfying God. You still have to work and work and work trying to please Him. Why? That's what Jesus went to finish. Finish your suffering, my suffering. Why to go do things that we don't need to do? All you need to do is to believe in Him, have a strong faith in Him. Also, Jacob is like what you depend on in your life. So what you depend on in your life? I depend on money, power, my kids, my saving account, my job. What do I depend on in this life? This is Jacob. Do you want that? Whatever you depend on, if it was not God, it's worthless. You will be thirsty again. Whatever you drink from this word and what the word gives to you, to me, to anyone, you will become thirsty again and you need to drink again. But the solution was Jesus, the Savior. So what he's accomplishing here, what he's finishing? The work. Bringing the lost sheep of Israel. They are lost sheep. How he can say about himself, I was sent for the lost sheep of Israel and not go to Samaria? Makes no sense. He must go. He must go. And the result, we read it of his visit in verses 41 and 42, which say, and many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him over ourselves. And now that is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. So they recognized who is Jesus from his teaching. He spent 2 days there. Who spent 2 days in the enemy country, in the enemy territory? He comes with peace, and he is finishing the work that he comes to do. And I will stop here, but I will end with these words. Everlasting life in verse 14. And every one of us shall speak and ask this, O Lord Jesus, my Lord, give me this water. Because if we don't drink from this water, whatever water in this world, you will stay thirsty. I hope your prayers today will be, give me this water. And he is generous, he is kind, he will give you this water, the living water. And you know what does that mean. He will give you his Holy Spirit to be with you all the days as he promised.